We are finishing up a four-week sermon series on the book of Colossians, and today we're going to be in chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. So I invite you, if you do, if you would, follow along with me, for this is God's word to us today. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul writes these words: "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Father, we are so grateful for the chance that you give us to be here in this room today, together, and we come and we ask that you would give us ears that would hear what you would say to us, that you would help us to focus on your word for these next few moments, that you would remind us of the goodness of the gospel, and that you would help us to better understand how it is that you would have us live in this world, that we might make Jesus Christ known both in word and in deed. Father, if there's anything that I say that's not true, that's not in line with who you are or your word, pray that we would not remember it, but if it is true, that it would take root in our hearts and transform how we live. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Several years ago, our church went through a visioning process, an intentional time where we prayed and we thought together about who it is that God is calling us to be, specifically here at Mountain Brook Baptist Church, in these days and the years ahead. And we called it Vision 2020. And at one point in my life, the year 2020 sounded like a really, really long time away or some kind of science fiction novel. But friends, here we are. We are almost there. 2020 is around the corner. And we came up with these six areas of ministry that we felt like God was calling us to be about here in our church, in our community. And we came up with these statements, these little short sentences that would help us think about what it would look like for us to be faithful to these callings. So I want to go over them with you again. First, we said that worship is important to us, that we worship God. But that's one of the things that we think God has called us to uniquely as his people, to worship him. Secondly, we feel like discipleship is important. We follow Jesus. So we grow in our faith and our understanding of who God is and who he calls us to be in Christ. Outreach, we share the gospel or we share the good news of Jesus. Missions, we serve others. Fellowship, we love one another. And structures, we make ministry possible. Now, as I think about these six areas and these six statements, it seems to me that the one about outreach or the one about sharing the gospel has the most potential to make people inside the church and outside the church a little bit nervous. You see, I don't think the world really cares that much if they are people of different faith traditions or of no tradition at all, that you and I make it our aim to worship God or follow Christ or serve others or love one another or make ministry possible. I think this is something that everybody in our community, regardless of where they fall on the spectrum of faith, would say, we think it's a good idea that Mountain Brook Baptist Church be more faithful in these different areas. But that one about sharing the gospel, the one where they actually want to engage with us about the good news of Christ, and this idea that there is a claim placed on us, that salvation is found only in the name of Christ, and that we must repent of our sins, confess our need for Jesus, place our faith in him. That's the one, you all, that makes, I think, in my experience, people both inside the church and outside the church just a little bit nervous. It's why there are curriculums written that have names like Share Jesus Without Fear, which we're going to do this fall. Because for many of us, the idea of sharing the gospel evokes what emotion in us? Fear. And so today, I want us to think about what it would look like for you and for me to be people who share the gospel genuinely, who try to be those who are in relationship with each with other people in a way that respects them and their dignity, but that also is a way that we carry out our mandate that God's given us in a faithful way. Now, one of the reasons that you and I find it really, really difficult to share the gospel and to speak to people about things of faith is that we live in a world that has tried to privatize all such matters. That it's okay what you believe, it's okay what I believe, but when we all get out here together in the public sphere, we're just going to keep all those things out of our conversation. That faith has been coupled with religion. I mean, religion and politics have been coupled together with those things that you don't talk about unless you want to make people feel awkward in public. I've seen this in my own life. I've been a part of some civic groups in our community, and there really is this kind of awkward uneasiness at work. That oftentimes we still have prayers to start our meetings. Nobody wants to be the one that says we shouldn't pray anymore. But the prayers that we're supposed to offer are kind of this generic civic kind of God that wouldn't offend anybody who was there of any particular faith tradition. It's kind of like this idea that, yeah, we think that maybe perhaps there is some higher power, but when we all get together, any particularities, especially the name of Christ, ought to be kind of pushed to the side for the sake of us all kind of getting together and being unified. And just like the morals and the virtues of the wider culture often find their way into the life of the church, so this idea that you and I live in a world where faith should always be private, that what you do and what I do should not ever conflict in the public square, then you and I start to live into that world. And we become fearful to engage someone and have a conversation about the good news of Christ because it's just not what we do. It's just not the society in which we live. The aspirational statement that goes along with this idea we share the gospel, this is what it says. We are intentional about sharing our faith through word and deed where we live, work, and play. We equip our families to draw in the lost to fellowship with the body and relationship with Jesus. Now, as you see that statement up there, I want you to think about your own life and see how you stack up with that aspirational statement. Are these things true of who you are? Is there an intentionality in your life as you're trying to share your faith with people where you live, work, and play? That not only in deed, but also in word, you are willing to engage people with the good news of Christ. And I'll have to tell you, friends, as I thought about my own life in light of this statement this week, I was very convicted. You see, I stand up in pulpits all the time and share the good news of Christ, and you expect that I would. I went to children's camp, shared the good news of Christ with the kids who were there. Over and over on Sunday mornings, I stand up in venues like this, and I share the good news of Christ, but as I think about my life and how often I'm engaged in face-to-face conversations with people who aren't believers and sharing the gospel, that I'm not living into this statement as faithfully as I would like to. And perhaps you resonate with that. So if that's true, if we think Scripture demands that we share the good news of Christ, if it's what we've decided as a church as an aspirational value of ours, then how do we grow in this? Well, Paul's words in Colossians chapter 4, to me, give us a lot of insight in how we can grow in this area of faithfulness. Colossians is a beautiful letter. It starts out in chapter 1, where Paul talks about the good news of Christ, and he explains the fact that no matter where you're from or what you have or what you don't have, your ethnicity, if you're really, really rich or if you're really, really poor, your station in life on the social ladder, none of that stuff matters. If you come and you confess your faith in Christ, you become members of full standing in God's people. And the way in chapter 2, Paul says that we continue to grow in godliness and the grace of the gospel, it's not through observing all these ritualistic rules that God would give us. But we continue in the gospel just like we started in the gospel, confessing that we have nothing to bring to this salvation, that it's all what God has done for us. So we don't advance to higher levels of spirituality by our own effort or by following rules well enough, but we do it by trusting the gospel of Jesus Christ from first to last. And that brings us assurance of salvation. If they are not first class and second class citizens in the kingdom of God, we're all in fully in Him. And then last week we talked about what it looks like to put on this new self and to live into this identity. That there are things that we put off, things that are not consistent with God's kingdom and his character. And there are things that we start to live into more fully. And as Paul gets to the end of his letter and he's talked about all these amazing implications of the gospel, he invites the Colossians to prayer. Now listen to what he says here in Colossians chapter 4. Listen again. He says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. The first thing that I think you and I see from Colossians chapter 4 as it relates to you and me and us being a part of God's work in the world to bring people into a relationship with him through Christ is that we have to remember that God is indeed at work in our world and be watchful for opportunities for us to join him in that work. Here's the thing, you all. As you live in a world where faith is privatized, where we get into the public sphere and we act as if God is not present and is not there, if you do that long enough, if you're not careful, you become a person who really isn't sensitive to God's presence and God's work in your world anymore. That you live in sort of a closed world. And while you would never say it, you'd never say I'm a deist, you'd never say I think God created everything and winded it up and just let it go and then he separated from it, functionally, that's how we often live. And Paul says, abound in prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Why? So you can be watchful. How many of you have ever seen the movie Braveheart? I saw that Top Gun 2 is coming out in 2020. I and every other 35 to 45-year-old male will be there with much excitement to see this Top Gun 2. Braveheart 2, we might get as many of us out who have watched that movie over and over again. And there is in that movie a character named Stephen. Stephen the Mad Irishman. Okay? Now, I don't give Stephen to you as a model for how you should speak. He's a little off color at times. But if you've seen the movie, Stephen shows up and he's different from everybody in that he's Irish and everybody else is Scottish. But also, he just seems to be a little bit off kilter. And he seems to have a continual running dialogue with God Almighty. And it's just weird for everybody else there. They're all just kind of like around him. They're like, this guy is just a little bit off center. He seems as if he is constantly talking to God. And though none of us can hear, God seems to be talking back to him. Here's the thing, you all. As followers of Christ, as people who believe that God has created all things and that he is still very much present and at work in this world, I think you and I ought to be a lot more like Stephen than we usually are. That every situation that we step into, that we do so prayerfully asking God to show us and lead us and direct us into his path and his ways for us. Do you do this? One of the great things about preaching is it kind of gives you an opportunity to test these things out. And so as I'm living into this passage all week, I'm kind of more sensitive to God's leading and his direction. And so I step into places like Miss Dot's for unhealthy fried chicken. They have healthy options, but I usually go toward the unhealthy option. And I'm prayerful and I'm sensitive to the people that God has put around me. And I'm open to engage people in conversations and talk about what I do. And this past week, God put somebody beside our family. And I'll admit to you, uncharacteristically, just engaged them in conversation. Said, hey, I'm going to pray for you when I get back to the office. Did. Emailed him. Hey, prayed for you, friend. And it was amazing when he emailed me back the encouragement that that dialogue was to him in that moment. I think you and I, if we're not careful, we live into a materialistic world that is this closed sphere that's dominated by reason and cause and effect. And while we would never say it, we live as if God is not present and active in our world. And at best, our prayer times are morning, evening, and mealtime. But what would it look like for you to go about your day, the rest of today and tomorrow, having this running dialogue with God? God, keep me watchful for your presence. Give me opportunities to impact and interact the people around me. Be sensitive to your presence and your leading in my life. I want to warn you, it might make you look crazy. Everybody else who's not operating from the same worldview and understanding of you. But I think God calls us to this kind of life. That He's not somewhere separated from us, but He's present with us and invites us to be present with Him in even the most mundane things of life, being watchful for the ways that He's calling us to join Him in His work in the world. Paul says it like this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. I've always struggled with that verse. Because I've always pictured prayer mostly as on my knees or as like this focused. I got everything blocked out. It's just me and the Lord. But what if prayer is that and it's also throughout the day as you're going, asking the Lord to help you be watchful and sensitive to His presence and His leading in your life. And stepping out obediently to what He's calling you to do. So remember that God is at work. Be watchful for opportunities to join Him in His work. Second, Colossians 4, verse 3. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. We need to be praying for God to open doors for us to share the gospel. We need to be praying, Lord, would you open doors for me to share the gospel? See, oftentimes I think we think about sharing our faith as, all right, we're going to meet at the church at 5 o'clock, and we're just going to start knocking on doors around, and we're just going to kind of cold call people. Can I come in and speak to you for a minute? And most people are going to say what? Nah, I'm good, thank you, or come back. Or they're going to be closing the blinds and the doors. Shh, hit the deck, right? We don't want to engage that way. But the picture of evangelism that I think we see in the scriptures is this sensitive leading, and we're praying for God to open doors for us and to give us conversations with people that will be meaningful and that will yield fruit for the gospel. So what would it look like in your life, in your family, in your workplace, on the sports teams that you play on, or if you're old like me that you coach, for you to be praying, Lord, open doors for me to share the good news of Christ in this venue. Open doors. Perhaps even as you're sitting here, you're thinking about particular people that God's put in your path and perhaps on your heart for years maybe, that you think, I need to tell that person about Christ, but I've just never done it. Maybe that person becomes the person that you're praying for. And rather than kind of this awkwardness where I ask Jeff, my coworker, to go to lunch, and I'm like, let me tell you about the gospel. You're just prayerful about it, and you're asking God to open doors that you'll be willing to step through as He makes them available. Sensitive to His presence, asking Him to open doors for the gospel. Third, we have to have a missional mindset and live intentionally. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians 4, 5, and 6. He says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Paul was a person who had a heart for the people that God put in his life, and even a heart to go after people. So you could say, I've become all things to all people that by God's grace I might save some. You and I ought to live lives that are attractive to non-believers. That they might see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ on display in how we live. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders. Don't unnecessarily give them any reason to be offended by the gospel or Christ. Now, I'm not saying you have to be perfect. Some of us might say, might have already blown it. Might have already blown it on this whole idea of walking in wisdom toward outsiders. But if you have, you know what might be really, really attractive to those people? If you confess that and you apologize for that. You might say, hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm a follower of Christ. What I did, what I said, was totally out of line with that. Would you forgive me? Like, walk into the places where God puts you with this intentional mindset that I'm not just here for sports. I'm not just here for getting a check. I'm not just here for the fun of our friendship. But I'm intentionally trying to live my life in a way that I might represent Christ well, and that my speech is gracious. Friends, if you did that alone, if you let your speech be gracious and attractive to the people that God puts in your life, that alone, I think, would ultimately win you a hearing for the gospel. If your speech would be gracious. Lastly, number four. We must treat each person that we meet with dignity and respect, and be willing to engage in meaningful conversations about the gospel rather than memorizing canned presentations. You know how Paul says that you might be able to answer each person? For the last 3 weeks, we've had Dr. J.D. Payne from Sanford come in and teach us about different faith traditions that you and I might encounter here in the greater Birmingham area. Islam, Hinduism, the Church of Latter-day Saints. And he's tried to give us this overarching understanding of what these different faith traditions believe. But if you've been there and you've been listening as intently, and as I was just fascinated by everything he had to say, one of the things he drove home over and over again in our sessions was that listen to each person that God puts in front of you with respect and sincere interest in what they believe. That we can have this general outline, this general understanding of what they believe, but what is more attractive than anything to people is if we would sit down, and perhaps before we get our Romans road out, or whatever, however it is that we're going to try to share the gospel, before we get to any of that, we might have a conversation and say, Tom, what do you believe? Like, just, what do you believe about life and death and the after? Like, what are your thoughts on that? And just listen to people. Right? And I think what you and I will find is that we disarm and we take a little bit of the awkwardness out of the conversation as if over time we just say, tell me what you believe. I'm so interested in you as a person. Share your thoughts and your feelings about life and eternal and important things. Are you a person of faith? What faith? What does that mean to you? What do you believe? And then say, and generally listen. Okay, genuinely listen. Don't get to your like, all right, oh, I know, boom, there's the inroads of the gospel. But just listen to what they have to say. And then offer to faithfully share, well, this is what I believe to be true about God and Christ and the difference that it makes in my life. And see what opportunities God might open up for us in a disarming, in a kind, in a winsome way. To simply share the reason for the hope that we have in Christ. As I've been listening to these different faith traditions explained, I have to tell you, friends, that I've been reminded that the good news of the gospel really is good news that God has given us. That though we are sinful people, we've turned our noses up at Him, His gift of salvation, He relentlessly pursues us. And He doesn't give us a system of works to try to work our way up to Him in hopes that we can be good enough. He doesn't fill us with doubt and uncertainty at our deaths, but He assures us that we are members of His people, fully righteous of who we are in Christ. That is a message that people, by and large, even if they don't believe it, I think would find attractive. You and I would just take the willingness to step out and to share it with others. So I pray for you in your life, and I pray for me in my life, and I'd love for you to pray for me. that I would be living more faithfully into that aspirational statement. I'd be willing to look a little bit crazy, be in constant communion with God, asking Him to help me be watchful for places He might give me opportunities, and to listen to people's stories and then share the good news of Christ as He gives me opportunity. And let's just see what God might do in our church, in our community, with those who are God puts in our path.